I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sans Pants Radio, there's only one Tony Lockett,
but there's two Gary Ablett's.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And this week we're joined by professional wrestler and Warzone heavyweight champion of the world, Dowie James.
Hi, friends.
Dowie, in one word, thoughts on Chris Scott?
Fuck.
One word that'll suffice.
Tom, how good's footy?
Fucking brilliant. That was nice.
Okay, so we're starting off hot then.
we're going hot. It's hot in this room. I take my scarf off.
We may as well dive in then.
The man's a hack.
To the main event. Chris Scott got re-signed by Geelong for a further 3 years.
2022.
Because he was going to wrap up in 2020. He initially said he was going to quit coaching before his kids went to school.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he said that in an interview when he re-signed like 2 years ago. And I assume it's because kids know what a shit coach he is and they will bully his children when they get to primary school.
Fucking savage. Jesus, I wasn't ready for this. I'm going to have to defend my boy.
Tom, why did they re-sign him?
Good question. I am genuinely confused. Had him to 2020 anyway.
Yep. I think... In all seriousness, I think it's a bit of security because there are, I mean, Alan Richardson's got what?
2 years.
Yeah, but...
One and some clauses.
Exactly,
to
right?
Hit, but yeah.
Stuart Jew, yes, he's new, but he's on borrowed time up there.
Yeah.
Ken Hinckley, they've signed him a long way away, but, you know, who knows? Ross Lyon. Now, Chris Scott did his apprenticeship at Freo, so it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility for Freo to approach Chris and be like, come and coach Freo.
You think that Geelong were afraid?
I think there
and
was a...
so in answer to their fear, they've thrown away their future.
I also think the record that I brought up last week when Fuckface over here jumped on Twitter and had a crack at him. Welcome to the show, Dow. It's great to have you.
Yeah.
Big fan. I think that record of, you know, 4 out of 5 prelim finals, I think. We got 5 years in a row, we got to 4 out of 5 prelims or whatever it was. In those eras, you've got to remember, I think we came up against Hawthorn twice in their three-peat years. We copped Sydney a year. They made, like, they were playing good football and were arguably the premiership favourite that year. We've copped Richmond and Adelaide last year in both finals where they went on to be the grand finalists. I mean, we've done pretty well. We've been in games and we've been in a position to win another flag. I argue that we fucked up in 2013 in that Freo game, and the grand final in 2013 was played a week earlier between Freo and between Hawthorn and Geelong in that prelim. We're a kick. There've been multiple times we've been a kick away. I think he's coached us to a great level. We've been able to rebuild on the fly. We've been able to blood good quality young talent, which is a combination of Stephen Wells, but I think I have been a critic of his at times, but I think his record and his coaching ability. He was voted by the coaches the hardest coach to coach against. So his peers think he's the hardest coach to coach against.
No, it doesn't, because if you're saying that...
Oh, you guys both coaches, are you?
Yeah.
But it would imply that he's been successful in some realm. And other than his win-loss percentage, this week I was trying to gear up to come in and just fire.
He has the best win-fucking-loss percentage.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So how has he not won a flag? Other than his first year when he has admitted... Team pretty much coached themselves. He came in with an established list. They ran the show, and ever since he's gotten worse and worse and worse.
Well, he hasn't though. He's been in. They've made prelims consecutively, as I pointed out. They made prelims consecutively, and
he hasn't
come
gotten
against,
better.
I reckon. Well, he's had a list in transition though.
Over the last, but what I was going to say,
we've bottomed
is
out once in that period.
I have had a look at the list that he's got, and we've got some tremendous young talent, and we've got too many midfielders. But a big criticism of mine is he doesn't know how to run a defense. Like, he takes people...
We have the best fucking defense in the league.
He takes those defensive players. Harry Taylor, best fullback that exists. And he insists on putting him up front. He's like, go stand up front where you don't do anything. Where you miss three out of your four shots on goal. And just stay up there. Same with Blitzard. Blitzard should be up back. He's got a lot to offer up front, but we've got better forward players.
Yeah.
And he just wants to make him a forward.
Now he's been playing him fullback all fucking year. Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
This year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Well, when would he have gone back last year when you had Lonergan and Mackie in the
side? Yeah, I would have thrown him back then.
Really?
Warm him up?
Nah. He's been brilliant. He's all Australian this year. He's never been all Australian before.
He's in the squad.
But he's made the squad and he'll make the 22. Fuck your rants. Get in the bin.
Okay.
Hollywood yourself into the bin, mate. Now, the Harry Taylor thing, there are criticisms and they are fair, but I will say this. Playing Harry Taylor forward means that guys like Kolodziejczyk, Buse and Stewart could have did an apprenticeship under Lonergan and Mackey and Henderson in the back line a year ahead of this year. Harry Taylor up forwards mean that you can interchange with Jack Henry, who's...
That said,
brilliant.
I also want Harry Taylor off the squad, but that's a different argument entirely. We'll come back to that. We'll circle around.
Oh, man, you're a hard man to play.
I think my biggest problem is there's been no progress since 2011. That's when he came on board. Like, we've not won a flag. His win-loss percentage has gotten worse over the past 2 years. Like, he ended last year at 73%.
Yep.
I think he's ending it just on 70.
He's on 71, so he's dropped a couple, but
okay.
There's games this year. We haven't lost a game. We've lost one game by more than 3 goals this year.
He also has no adaptability.
Oh,
I think he's very good at coming up with a plan that is... This is a twofold complaint of mine.
Would you call it a plan A?
Yeah, he's great at coming up with an unorthodox plan A, and when that works and everyone goes, oh, he's going to run plan A next week because it works so well this week, he sticks to it. He doesn't change. He's like, I'm going to do this.
He's talking about Dangerfield full forward 2017 final series.
Yeah, very obvious thing.
Joey,
but same thing with their midfield lineup. This, like when Cam Guthrie works really well, he leaves him in that same position, knowing he's not a consistent player.
Ooh. Yeah,
and
but
like he should probably give him a bit of a
He's actually, I like the fact that he's actually, with Harry Taylor back in the side, Guthrie's been able to play more forward of the ball. And I've said that on the show, that
he's
a better mid and he's a better forward.
He's someone I feel like cops a lot of flack.
Unfairly.
Need to defend constantly.
He's my favourite player.
He's fantastic.
I love him.
His on-ball pressure, like, his problem is never that he's not involved.
No.
And that, I think, is a tremendous positive. Like, the only thing, sometimes he makes some silly decisions, but he's always there. He's never missing.
I'd rather he would be there and be winning the ball and then make a mistake than be, you know, nowhere near the ball like James Parsons.
Parsons has got to go in the bin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of him.
He's just too inconsistent.
When send him to the Bulldogs.
Right.
He's not inconsistent. He just doesn't he's consistently shit.
He's very consistent. Yeah.
Okay, here's my issue with the Chris Scott signing.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. And the other thing is, when plan A is not working in a game, he doesn't know how to fix it.
There's no plan B? Yeah, is that what he's saying, Joey?
Yeah, he has no plan B. I guess that is correct, Sean.
I think he does. And I think we've seen evidence of that.
Well, from time to time.
But no, I think it's that issue that Dangerfield brought up after, I think, either the Hawthorn or the Richmond game, where when Geelong's back is to the wall, the plan B is blistering play on football. And that's how we're going to win a flag. That style of footy. That's like run and gun through the middle.
That's not a plan B. That's a thing that teams do when it's like all is lost, so why not? Fuck it.
Let's that's plan B.
That's where it's not a good plan. It's a bad
I'm not saying it's a good plan B. No. I think he has.
And that's where he lets us down a lot in that when our problem is no defensive pressure, he's like, all right, well, we're going to counter this with more offense. Like things aren't working
Malcolm
out.
Malcolm Blight made 3 grand finals with that strategy.
Malcolm Blight's a dickhead. Just on coaches, Malcolm Blight was on the radio this week and had a dig at Brisbane saying that they shouldn't have re-signed Chris Fagan. Chris Fagan already had a deal for next year, but they added two to it because he's had a successful year and Brisbane is sort of on an upward curve. But he's like, I've seen coaches get fired for a lot less than what he's done. And I'm like, whoa, how out of touch are you with the fucking reality? I don't like Malcolm Blight.
Nah.
Chris Fagan's doing a great job.
I love him.
Fuck you.
It's great.
Bullshit.
Biggest goal in
Chris
history.
Chris Scott, here's the issue.
Right.
Geelong haven't really gone to the draft for a long time. They've topped up. They've grabbed Dangerfield. They've grabbed Selwood. They've been grabbing players. Gary Ablett, all of this.
Down to the draft this year in a super draft.
Well, they have to go to the draft.
Getting rid of Motlop for Gary Ablett is something I'll never forgive him for.
But, so it's all in. It's all in for Geelong. They have
Don't make me foot this table, Tom.
can I say, getting rid of...
They have to win a flag, Tom. That's the thing.
Yeah, no, we will.
So,
when?
Chris Scott had... Did he have 2 years left?
Bring it on.
Did he have 2 years left?
2020, yeah.
Yeah, 2020 was on his... I would have rather either
They needed
see,
to wait. They needed yeah, to wait and go, we've gone all in. All the chips are in. If they don't win a flag, then it's a failure and they should move him out and change it. Yeah, it's really...
Especially now, like if you're ever going to change, once... How long's like Ablett got left, realistically?
Three.
One three.
Well, no, as in, didn't he have three to start with? Wasn't that
no,
the deal?
No, two.
No, was he only on two?
Yeah, yeah.
I can go two, and you could give him an extra one if he performed well.
He hasn't performed that well this year.
It's been great.
His numbers have been all right.
Yeah, but you're comparing him to 27-year-old Gary Ablett.
Yeah, but he's earning more money at 34 than he was at 27.
I don't think he is.
I think he's on less.
He's on less. Gold Coast, because that was the issue. Gold Coast were like, we can pay you triple what you get at Geelong. He's like, I'm going home.
I think he's on 500 a year or something.
I've also got to just put out there,
yeah.
You're bagging given the Motlop one, Motlop wanted to leave because he's a free agent. So we could have matched the deal, but he wanted to go. We got Gary Ablett.
I would argue he wanted to go because of poor treatment from coaching staff, but...
We got Gary Ablett and Tim Kelly for Motlop.
Tim Kelly is best rookie... Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be a really good...
But that's what I mean. This is
He's going to be a really good West Coast player next year.
Fuck you, you fuckhead.
If you were going to make a shift, it would be now. Like, over the next few years, we've got a tremendous group of talent that can be molded into anything, and it would be really fun in 2020 to see a new coach come in and play with that talent instead of the same coach do the same thing
what if
that
hasn't flag, worked though, out over the last 7 years.
Well, if that happens, then great. They've been vindicated and well done.
I'll eat.
Chris Scott.
Great. What's the coaching toast equivalent?
Crumpet?
Michael Voss is available. That's all I'm saying.
I know.
Bring him in.
If I wanted a shit Brisbane player, I'd have hired Brad.
Oh. He's done pretty well. People have talked. His name is thrown in the mix for coach of the year.
Oh, yeah. No, he's absolutely turned that list around because he's finally got it in a... He's had injuries plague a lot of that list and he's been able to clear out bits and pieces.
Could you make an argument for North Melbourne that they just severely underperformed and were shithouse last year?
I think so, yeah.
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 100%. I thought last year they were going to do much better than they...
They won 4 games, I think, last year, maybe 5, and they've won 12 this year.
And just missed finals.
Yeah.
I think also the issue last year was that they lost a whole bunch of talent and it took them a while to course correct. Like they lost Petrie, Harvey, Del Santo, and I think 2 others.
Yeah.
Ferrito. Like, core... cogs in that team who then last year they didn't have them and it's like where's number 29? Oh, he's not there.
And
fuck.
I think a big part of my Chris Scott resentment comes from a similar thing where if he was coming in and this was all brand new talent and it was course correction, that would be fine. But taking the stars that we've got that are established, that you know how they play and they know how they fit into this like roster, there is no reason we were fighting for an 8th spot.
Well, but here's the thing. We win one of 2 Richmond games and one of the 2 Hawthorn games. We're having a completely different conversation. Harry Taylor kicks that goal after the siren. We're having a completely different conversation.
But he never will because he shouldn't be up front.
Hey, he took the fucking mark.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, he can take a mark. He's a big guy. He just can't kick.
Hey, I saw him kick fucking 4 goals on Alex Rance.
That's a good point. You look at the ladder and the 3 teams with the highest percentage are Richmond, Geelong and Melbourne.
And we've also got the best defense
on paper.
Yeah, as in we've conceded the least number of points than any other side.
Fair enough.
Hmm.
Blitz ups, career best year.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Blitz ups is, and They're not moving him forward except in patches every now and again. Just like in that game against Melbourne, they threw all the defenders into the forward line. I was all right with him.
He played behind the ball a bit against Gold Coast this week. It's just gone by, and he's such a freak athlete. That guy.
But even like they're talking this week for the Melbourne Geelong elimination final having Blitzarves at fullback and having Harry Taylor still on the side means you can put Jack Henry and Harry Taylor back. Just put Blitzarves on the ball for a bit to try to neutralise Gorn with a bit of his athleticism.
I'm excited to get to the Geelong game because I really want to talk about Jack Henry and how he just is better every week.
And it's bullshit he's not in the best 22 under 22?
Yeah. Yeah, that is disgusting. Well,
do we want to dive into the game?
I think it took too long. Did we dive
straight into the Geelong game?
Bombers, Port Adelaide's the first game, but while we're on the Geelong train, let's just do it. That's the second game of the
round. Good.
Geelong won 142-40, a shellacking, a drobbing if you will.
200-point wins in a row. I mean, against teams that didn't turn up. But fucking great.
Yeah.
Jack Henry.
Great. It was like 4 weeks ago I was saying to someone, this kid is going to be great. And I was watching him play Gold Coast. I'm like, oh, no, he is great.
Yeah.
Like, there's no getting great.
He's not
going to
be great.
It.
He's amazing.
I would argue maybe that the best 22 under 22, he took a bit. Like, first half of the season, he didn't really shine. And maybe that hurt him. Like, it took a bit for him to come out of his shell.
Is it his first year?
I think his second year at the club, but it's his first year. Like, he played VFL.
Yeah.
He's 19.
Okay. So did he get a Rising Star nomination?
He did, I think round one of the – we played the Giants and he had like 15 marks.
I think Jared Waitley said that he would win the award.
He
said it a couple of weeks ago. He won't because I think Stevenson's
it got sucks, but he's – the fact that you look at Jack Henry and you've got an All-Australian defender in Harry Taylor and Lockie Henderson – and you go, right, I need to pick my spine. I'm picking Jack Henry first and then one of Taylor or Henderson.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that, like, he's pushed Taylor out of the back line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although he's also very good up forward because he's working, it's the one thing that Tom Hawk, and this is the thing that sort of someone was talking today about Hawkins's year, and we saw him take a bit of a sacrificial role on the weekend, which I liked because
I like the team camaraderie. Like, I like the gimmick of it and building up everyone's confidence. I really would have liked to just see him get that Coleman.
Oh, what a
like, and he could have done it if they just fed it to him every time.
I think the thing that hurt him wasn't actually his ability. It was the fact that Jack Leslie did his knee.
Yeah.
So went off. So May moved to Hawkins. And Hawkins was like, right, well, my role now that May's on me is to drag May as far up the fucking ground as I can. Because he's an unfit fat fuck. But sucking him in.
Hawkins
is fit, though.
Hawkins is. Yeah. Hawkins is
form
a,
of his career. He looks like he could play for another 4 years.
And you can
Hawkins.
See, like, about second, third quarter, and he's so frustrated that he's just rough and tumble because if he runs, I can't keep up with him. Like,
May's game. He's a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Henry's great forward and back. He's the swingman that Chris Scott has wanted Harry Taylor to be.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with that.
That. You know what I don't know if we clarified? I think you can probably guess it from context, but Dowie's a big Cats fan.
I'm a Geelong supporter, guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's so much Geelong arrogance in this room. It's ridiculous.
It's fucking crazy. It's off the charts. Hey, Dangerfield had a ripping game.
I was about to say, I think it was his best game this year.
Yep.
Like, it was like watching him play from last year, which has been missing all year.
I think, Chris Scott even said he's been sore. Like, he's been playing sore. So he's had corkies, he's been battered, he's been bruised. And Chris Scott said this multiple times. Danger's it. Like, you remember he missed the start of the year with a bit of an niggle. And I think it's just taken him the year. Because he's never going to get a game where he can just take it easy. Because, A, he doesn't fucking know how to play that style of game. Mm. He would be the best player in the AFL at getting tackled and then just getting up while being tackled and continued movement.
Yep.
Like, it's the amount of times he gets tackled to the ground, you're like, oh, he's gone. And he just stands back up again, and he's still got the ball, and he just takes off. And it's like, how the fuck are you that good?
He's every bit as agile as Joel Selwood is reckless.
Yes.
Like, it's the same approach to football, but where Joel's like, tuck my head and just run into it. And Patrick's like, how do I get out of this?
Yeah. For a big bloke, he is actually quite nimble.
I don't want to backtrack, but I do want to backtrack and talk about when we're talking about Hawkins being unselfish.
Yep.
He set up Jack Henry for a shot at goal at about 50 out, and Henry looked to pass off to Menzel, which is great in that it was fun seeing like good team dynamic and moving it around. But when we're 80 points up against Gold Coast, like, I feel like that's when Jack Henry should be
bombing,
polishing up those shots at goal, because you're going to need them in the next few weeks.
And he can do it too. Yeah. We've seen him kick it from 55.
Yeah. And like, on tough angles.
I think he'll be fine. I think that was more about potentially bringing Menzel into the game a bit.
Yeah.
Giving him a bit of confidence going to finals. Well, he kicked a couple. He looked lively. He can't fucking run, though, Sean.
No. He's not tall enough to play a big forward. Like, he plays like he's Tom Hawkins guy. He can get those over the head marks, but he's often outsized by defenders.
And he does try to, like, out-muscle an opponent to get the drop of the ball at the back, and he doesn't have the strength. Look, I think I will be staggered if St Kilda give him 2 years. Because he said he'll stay at Geelong, but if another club offers him more years, he'll move. And the word on the street is that St Kilda are going to throw 2 years at him. I have a cheeky inside source.
Ooh.
Someone.
Yep.
Who basically is like, Monday to Friday, kid can't fucking walk.
Wow.
Like, his groin, fucked. So I feel like it'll be a case of Stevie J at Collingwood where they'll do a medical and go, yeah, nah.
So, if it's that bad.
The problem is it's not going to get worse. So it's like Hawkins back years ago. They're like,
okay.
He can't actually make it worse. He's just got to manage it. It's like Nick Riewoldt was injecting his knees four times at the end of his career.
Hypothetical one, then.
Yep.
The talk is that you guys are going after Luke Dalhouse.
I can get behind that.
I'm not on board that. But if you bring him in, do you just let Menzel go? Because if it's that bad.
Well, they've offered him 1 year. I reckon they're looking at Dalhouse because I think maybe St Kilda are dumb enough to offer him two.
Yeah. Well, and all the talk Chris is that
Scott,
they will.
Chris Scott has said, we're not going to match it. We're not going to match an extra year. Which is a hard call, but the right call. It's like people get angry about, why did we let Chapman go? We didn't need him after that year.
That's a rough one. It really hurt me to see Paul Chapman go. But
it was a right call?
Yeah, it was. It really, really was.
Yeah. I don't know about Dalhouse. I just don't. I think he's kind of a B-grade player.
I could get behind it, but I would rather the... I'd just rather see...
I'd rather see fucking Cockatoo get on grabbing. The park.
Yeah, I'd
start.
Rather see, like...
Can you afford him?
Yes. The reason I say that is because I reckon Danger's contract would have been front-loaded.
Mm-hmm.
He's now, he'll be in 4 years in next year, I reckon. And I also reckon Geelong's always operated under that thing of, if you want to win a flag, we're not having any millionaires.
Yeah.
And it was a great story that Cam Mooney talked about, like Corey Enright, who won two best and fairest in premiership years. McCammon was like, he wouldn't be even in the top 10 paid players in the club.
See, and I think that's that culture of there's so many young, hungry people that are so keen to just play for Geelong because of the, like...
Prestige factor.
Yeah. It's like playing for a big-end regional team that I'd rather see resources go to developing them than Dalhouse, necessarily.
That's how
I felt about getting Gary Ablett back.
It's a four-year offer, apparently.
Well, see, but here's the thing. Like, he was brilliant in their premiership year.
Yeah.
Like, he's... And he brings...
Was he just good for, like, they were for about 4 weeks?
Do you know what I think, though? No, he was good. He was consistent throughout the year. The reason I say Dalhouse is a good look is that as much as I love Gregson and McCarthy and Cockatoo, the fact that between them they haven't even played 100 games and some of them have been on the list for 4 or 5 years now, you need Dalhouse. Because if they all three go down again, then... Jones, I just don't think, is at the level yet. Narkle will be, but he's actually, as Chris Scott said, Narkle was recruited as a midfielder, not as a forward. There's no point playing a midfielder as a small forward when he's not.
No.
So I think...
He'll put Smith people from the back Coast. Line.
Well, yeah, put him at fullback. He'll go to Gold Coast, and I think we'll lose Thurlow as well.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss him.
How did Gary play?
He was great.
Had a Gary play.
No, he was actually good this week.
Right. Had a great game. Got it stuck in.
My issue with his stats have been fine. His hustle from this week just gone was really, really good. Overall this year, I would argue, when I watch the game, like as someone, if I'm just watching without any context, what seems to happen to me is everyone, like Gary's there and he knows his role. And his role is, I'm going to run the midfield, I'm going to draw players to me, and I'm going to get those quick outlets to like the younger guys.
And that's the role
that's
where he's good at.
But then I feel like the coach has said to all the younger guys, no matter what you're doing, look for Gary Ablett in the midfield and send it his way. Because there is a lot where people look for him and he touches it for 2 seconds and he passes it off in a shitty decision or to get someone else involved who then is like, well, I don't know what to do because I'm looking for you and you've just given it to me. I'm just going to bomb it.
He seems to have become more of a facilitator this year where he wants to feed his other teammates into the
game. Which is the role he should have is Ablett is actually at his best when he's doing that 1-2. So give the ball to me, you get to a better position, I'll give it back to you because players are going to come to me because I'm Gary Ablett.
Yeah.
And I think that's the better position. I don't necessarily think it's a coaching thing. I think it's young players having Gary Ablett in their team and going, oh, fuck, it's Gary Ablett. He'll do something with it.
Yeah.
In and the same way that, oh, fuck, it's Dangerfield. I better get the ball. Like, how many times do you watch, like, Fife in a young Fremantle side just get handballed when he's got eight guys on him?
And I think that was really what hurt us for the first half of the year, and that's something that I don't even know that they've addressed, in that I think everyone's perception going in is it's going to be young guys or Danger comes out, gets it to Ablett, who facilitates someone to go to Hawkins, and it's not working in that chain. It's going to Ablett and it goes out, and then sometimes it makes its way in 50 and sometimes it's just a wild boost.
Here's the thing.
Or a terrible decision.
Don't give it to Ablett. Give it to Tim fucking Kelly.
Yeah, every ball should go to Kelly or Parfitt.
Geelong, they're just over-possessing it.
Yeah.
And it's like...
We
don't want to say Ablett of the past, but Ablett of the past will get it, explode, get it inside 50 on Hawkins' chest. And now it's a bit more like, instead of one kick, it's four handballs and a kick.
And it's funny you talk about the niggling Dangerfield things, because as we like air all of this out, I think maybe everyone's perception is big three in the middle, and their perception was Danger's no good to go. Gary fills that role for a little bit.
Yeah. And if you noticed, Chris Scott's either started Gary on the bench in the last few weeks or Gary forward, which means, and Danger started on the ball every week.
I would have started him forward from the start of the year. We went to week one, and that's what I said. I'm like, why is he in the midfield? Yeah. He should be forward pocket.
Well, Danger was out that first round game.
What do you guys make of the MVP nominations came out the other day? So the players of each club vote for three players from their team.
Mm-hmm.
The Cats went with Blitzarv, Stewart, and
Hawkins.
Hawkins.
And you know what? I agree.
Yeah, so do I.
All three of them.
Stewart has been...
Revelation.
Best in that back half of the field. Hawkins' best year he's ever had.
Mm-hmm. And Blitzarv is an Australian...
Just, yeah, you know, he should always be in the conversation.
Because it's not who do you think your best player is. It's who's your most valuable player. Exactly. And they've gone... Because the other thing too is Dangerfield, Ablett and Selwood are also voting, and they haven't cast any votes to those. They've all gone, nah, it's the three guys playing crucial roles.
Yep.
Tom Stewart doesn't play that Richmond game. Fuck, we missed him.
Yeah, I think too often that award, the nominees are like, oh, who's our best? Who's got the most sort of prestige? When Geelong have done it right, I think.
You wouldn't have it offhand because you've got no notes in front of you, but I was curious as to the amount
we remember it all, mate.
The amount of intercepts Tom Stewart took on Saturday against Gold Coast.
A million?
What's the number, what's the highest intercept rate in an AFL game?
Well, that's actually, you know what I can tell you? I can tell you how many he's had for the season because I think it's in his All-Australian...
I was going to say, does it come close? Because he was everywhere.
Against Brisbane on the weekend, Jeremy McGovern took the record, I think, for most intercept marks in a game. I think it was 20
for a year, I think.
Oh, was it for the year?
For the year. He broke the all-time record, I think.
Did he break his own record? I think the top five, he's in there like three times.
But it was like every, especially that second quarter when the floodgates started opening, it was every driving kick, he was there to take it.
He just reads it so well.
He does.
It's ridiculous.
130 marks for the year. But I don't know how many intercept. I imagine.
Is that pretty high up in the...
Hawkins has had more.
Yeah.
But Hawkins should have more in the form that he's been in.
Yeah. And that's the role he's playing.
I see Gunston, 114. Tom Mitchell, get fucked.
Witherden's second, isn't he? Or third, or for marks?
I'm just going to go to Shannon Hearn because I think he has the most. I think his is some absolutely 174 marks in the AFL.
Well, we've talked about how good Geelong is from half an episode.
It's become an episode of how good Geelong.
Let's go to the first game, Port Adelaide versus Essendon. Port Adelaide actually had technically a bit to play for because if they won, they were in the eight until Geelong played the next day. And they did not play like they had anything to play for.
No, speaking of marks, though.
Lost by 22.
Speaking of marks, Mark of the Year was taken in that game.
Oh, Aaron Francis.
Yes, 100%. Aaron Francis.
Isaac tremendous. Heaney was really good. Get out of the sky. Aaron Francis is here.
Yeah.
Heaney's had better context in terms of the time of the game.
They never look at context for a mark of the year.
They probably don't. No. Who votes for it?
Well, it is the fans, but I think they've changed it up. Jeremy Howe got robbed last year.
I would argue he wasn't robbed.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
Danaher marked it at full stretch on top of Carlisle, and Danaher's 9 million miles tall.
The reaction to that was stupid, I think.
His was Eddie. Eddie's an angry fucker.
Lost it because I just got mad about Eddie.
the Bombers, good finish to the year.
Yeah.
But Adelaide have got some big...
That was great. Devin concerns. Smith was a defensive machine in that game as well.
Broke,
lucky to be playing.
Broke the record. for the most tackles in a season.
So probably shouldn't have that record then, because she's been on the sidelines.
For trying to punch.
For trying to kill somebody.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome, though. It's a shame he didn't break 200.
Would have been good.
Yeah.
Well, if that had made finals, he could have.
Has anyone ever got 200, finals included?
Well, no, because he broke the record.
Was it the home and away record?
Or no, I think it was the record.
Jeez. That's huge.
I think. I'm talking out my ass here. I have no idea.
Oh, let's just say it is.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
well
yeah.
done, Devin Smith.
Well done.
Yeah. Good on you. Recruit of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Outside of, you know, maybe recruit from another club of the year. I was going to say Tim Kelly is the recruit of the year, I think.
He's the first year player of the year by a mile.
Yeah, he'll win that for sure. I saw a report today. Port Adelaide should consider trading Chad Wingard.
But yeah, nah, I mean, Justin Westhoff was the only one present on Friday night anyway. Yeah. That's like I'd get rid of all the others.
Yeah, Jack Watts has been a failure.
He has.
I wouldn't have got Motlop.
Well, here's the thing about Motlop, though, is he's going to give you what he gave them, which is brilliance in some games, nothing in others, and nothing in the middle.
I know you stand by that, and you liked that at Geelong as well and all that. I don't care for that. I would get rid of him. Because you want someone who's consistent every week. I don't care if it's like, oh, he won him the showdown. He'll win him this game. And then he'll play three games where he does fuck all. Get rid of him. Send him to Gold Coast.
Thing is, I wouldn't trade Wingard out either, though. You build a team on the back of Wingard.
He's
Wines.
He's just been down for probably... He was certainly down this year.
Well, he was down playing forward. And then when they got a few injuries, he played on the ball more. And all of a sudden, he roared to life. So, play him on the ball.
I think the argument with the trade thing is that you would get max value for him now, whereas if he has another bad year, then it's like, oh, what do we do? But I think he's just purely on potential, he's nearly their best player.
Oh, so 100%.
You keep him.
He is the kind of player that, look, if they trade him, we'll have him.
I saw someone say they should trade Rockcliffe.
Why?
They should bring him for 1 year.
Trade Boke.
Well, he actually performed on the weekend. Yeah, he was all right.
He did.
But yeah, he's got to be coming to an end.
I think
he nearly went to Geelong.
He did.
You wouldn't have got Dangerfield if you got Boke, I don't reckon.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't reckon he would have. He wouldn't have had to afford it.
Boke was only at Geelong like 3 years before Paddy was at Geelong.
Yeah.
I reckon they would have been able to do something. They would have just said, Joel Selwood, you're getting paid $10 this year. And Joel Selwood would have said, no worries. I can't remember anything anyway. My head doesn't feel good.
Good finish to the year for the Bombers, I think.
That was great.
They'll have a crack next year. Port Adelaide brings me so much happiness to see them fall. I can't stand their football club. I can't stand Ken Hinckley. So, you know.
Watching
Koshy, that fuck. He said there's going to be a review of the entire department.
Did you see him during the first quarter when they kicked one goal and he was just sitting in the stands like an angry man?
It's great.
His face looks like a turnip.
Yeah. You know, Ken Hinckley's like, we'll have to improve, blah, 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 blah. Same shit he has said. They've played, I think, they played one final in 4 years. Is that right? No.
No.
They won one final in 4 years?
No.
That's probably wrong. That's probably accurate.
That is incorrect.
Is it?
I reckon it is.
Don't cling to this preliminary final that happened before.
I think in 2013 they beat Collingwood.
Yep.
And then got in his first year they beat Collingwood at the G and then lost to Geelong at the G.
What year was the prelim?
2014.
Long story short, they haven't fired a shot since 2014.
Well, they have though, because they've been in the finals the last couple of years, haven't they?
What have they done though? Nothing.
They murdered Richmond that time, which was funny. That's given me I've got a lot of goodwill for them because I just think about that. They also that upset Eddie every
Doesn't
time they wear their
anymore.
Clash their heritage jumper because he's like, nope, we're the only Magpies in the AFL. Look, they're in trouble though.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of injuries this year though too.
Excuses. So has every other team. So has Geelong.
Yeah.
So has everyone except Richmond.
Well, and if Geelong hadn't had those injuries, we'd probably be top four.
Yeah. But, you know, Port Adelaide.
They probably would be too.
Port Adelaide were 11-4 and they finished, 12-10.
Fuck, is that...
That's what they were. They were 11-4. So was Sydney. Sydney pushed on, fought through a tough patch.
Sydney got
the
finals. That, you know, that thing
Sydney
that Sydney
had, what is it, heart? Port Adelaide, just a fucking husk of a football club. Oh. Despicable.
What was the next game, Sean?
Well, the second game was Geelong Gold Coast, so I think we should circle around and chat
yeah,
about that
talk
a
about
bit
that
more.
Again. actually, do you know what's reminded me?
Oh, here we go.
How good is Geelong?
It's not all about Geelong, mate.
We're so good that we have the worst thing I've ever seen in a game of football happen to us and we still won by 100 points.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Did you see Blitzar's kick in?
Yes. Yes, I did.
We're about 85 points up, mind you, and it's halfway through the last quarter.
I blocked that out of my memory.
He does that and this bloke behind me just loses his mind. Oh, he's not even a defender. They're playing him in the wrong spot. And I'm like... He's in fucking All-Australian form, and we're 85 points up. He's just gone for a casual kick because he's like, oh, who gives a shit? We're 85 points up.
Unforgivable.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Chris Scott should have had some backbone, dragged him.
Yeah.
Put him on the bench. Give him the chair.
You're going to watch the finals this year.
He should have taken a leave.
We lose the final, and it's like, that's on you, Mark. Yeah. If you had been there, we would have won.
That guy that you upset at Cardinia Park.
Richmond beat the Doggies by 3 points. Very close. I didn't expect that.
I wanted them to win. I think everyone in Australia wanted the Bulldogs to win.
I really did. As well.
But how much of it was...
foot off the pedal?
Yeah, foot off the pedal, trying to set up Jack too much.
Yeah. I didn't watch the game. Did they actually feed him a lot?
Not early, but they did late. Once they knew that Hawkins hadn't... like, I think by about half time, they then fed him three or four.
Yeah.
Don't love that.
Nah, I don't like that. And that's... I take pride in knowing Hawkins could have gone in, just kicked like I wanted him to, as much as I wanted him to just be selfish.
He only
and
had
win,
to kick like 6 or 7 to level.
Yeah.
And he's done it before.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no reason he couldn't have kicked 10.
Like, would they, he'll do it when it counts.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Now, I think Richmond had kind of put the cue in the rack, but I also think the Bulldogs spooked them a bit and they weren't.
Well, I guess that's true because it was the second that they made their big run, the Bulldogs, wasn't it? Like, yeah. They led in to halftime. Yeah,
and then the class just rose. Brad Lynch had two opportunities to pass the ball to Ed Richards in a better position and didn't take either of them in both occasions.
I would argue that the biggest problem the Doggies have is that they can really turn it on for about two quarters. They can't play a full game of football like that.
Their injuries have fucked them too, though. Like, their back line at one point had no one in it.
Yeah.
So, if they can get everyone on the park...
They might go all right next year, the Doggies.
Yeah, I think, I mean...
They've had a good finish. So, in the last month of the season, they've lost to premiership favourites narrowly and won 3 games.
Players back.
Yeah.
I mean...
They got McRae and Bontempelli, so there's some talent.
JJ found a bit of form towards the latter end of the year. I think... And there's some young guys... Billy... What's his name?
Billy Gowers, yeah.
He's a fucking legend.
Yeah.
He looks like a guy who just likes punching people too, so I like him a bit. Yeah. Billy Gowers looks like he could just join a wrestling team, 100%. He's just got a bit of wrestling swagger about him.
Dowie'd smash him.
Oh, yeah. You would.
I like that you called it a team as well.
Like a tag team. Yeah. I know it's every man
for
himself.
He couldn't wrestle on his own. He'd have to
yeah,
have
you tag him in. Yeah.
Well done to Jack, though. Jack Revolt winning. That's his third Coleman.
First Richmond player in history to do that.
That's pretty good. Matty Lloyd won 3 Colemans. So that's kind of the level that we're sort of talking about.
Matty Lloyd would never have won a Coleman with only 66 goals or something like that.
No, when he won them, he would kick like 100.
But people say, oh, it's the death of football. No, it's just a spread of goal kickers, which is what good teams
it's
have.
It's an evolution of the game.
That's correct. Calm the fuck down.
Jack's won it 3 times. 2 of those occasions, I think he's kicked 65 goals to win it. And that's the equal lowest ever for the Coleman. So, but yeah, it's the evolution of the game.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned today that he has eclipsed Nick Riewoldt. Incorrect.
Oh, yeah. That was friend of the show, Yoav Cohen.
I think he's enemy of the show. He's now into that. I think he's now into the discussion of... I think that he's getting up towards Riewoldt now. Nick Riewoldt's a fantastic player.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think he can actually...
By the fact that he didn't win a premiership.
Yeah, he does.
And he should have won 2.
Did he win a Coleman, Nick Riewoldt?
No, but here's the thing. I don't think Riewoldt J and Riewoldt N are the same. Nick Riewoldt became the richo and started playing on the wing and was a brilliant contested mark, whereas Jack is he's a tall who can also play small, whereas Nick was a tall who could play on the wing.
Yeah.
Or at halfback.
Yeah.
Or like, I remember there's an interview, and I've probably said this 8 times on this show, but there's an interview with Harry Taylor talking about his hardest ever opponent, and he said Nick Riewoldt because he would run you into the ground.
Absolutely.
And just when he'd stop to pause and you go, okay, we're going to get a breath, and you turn around and he'd take off again on another lead, and you're Jesus Christ.
He's an all-round athlete that is like such a rare breed through AFL. Like, because you find your role and you get comfortable in it, and there's only like a handful of people that can play like at Nick's level.
Exactly. And like Nick Riewoldt never got concussed and tried to crawl up the steps back onto the ground. Like,
he also never headlined with the Killers.
No, that's fair. You know. That's fair.
But looking at Jack on paper, his numbers are starting to stack up really nicely now. Like he's definitely going to be a Hall of Fame player. I think. He's kicked 600 goals.
Oh, he will
3 Colemans.
He'll be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
If he wins another couple of Colemans and another...
If
he wins another... If he wins another Coleman and another flag...
Yeah.
He's pushing really into that Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
Legend status.
Absolutely. Freo were pretty plucky against Collingwood.
Yeah, typical Collingwood were like, oh, we can win top. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No, we're fine, guys. We did it.
It was a bit of stress. Freo responded after getting fucking destroyed.
Well, they turned up.
Yeah, they turned up.
It was easy, too. Should've had to.
They
were still at home.
Kicked four goals, I think.
I think he listened to the show.
Yeah, I think he did.
I think he kicked. I need a lift. I've got another year on my contract. I know I sent a message to you to say that Pierce didn't get picked up for a farewell game, but I just want to clarify that apparently that was his decision.
Yeah, we did. I went hard on Ross Lyon just in our chat group.
Yeah, I don't take any of those things
back.
Because
I wanted Pierce to have a farewell game, but I did read that he said, no, I'm taking a game away from a kid. Let them play.
Good on and he and wanted to career, he wanted well to do the best he could for the Fremantle, the Peel Thunder.
Yeah,
they got smashed by 84 points, didn't make the finals. So that was good on you, Daniel.
Daniel
A, however your name's spelled.
So yeah, Collingwood's top four. Well done to Buckley.
Yeah,
because he was under huge pressure. Especially, did they lose their first two games?
They did. Yeah, I think they lost their first three, and everyone went fuck. Not
I think
again.
On this show we said they would win the Wooden Spoon at that point.
We've made some pretty good calls on this show.
We've made some pretty good ones.
Not against North Melbourne, though.
We've never gone against North Melbourne. We've always thought they were going to be finalists this year, and they just missed. But yeah, well done to Collingwood. Well done to Bucks. Huge pressure. Yep. He was probably under the most pressure in the first month of the season.
Do you know what fucking kills me, though? It means Eddie was right.
Well, no. Eddie was... I argue Eddie's still a coward. He was too afraid to pull the trigger.
But Bucks finally got what he needed, which was to be left the fuck alone to coach.
True. And he's shown that, yeah, he's got significantly more chances than anybody, I reckon, in the game has ever had.
Yeah.
What did he have, four failed years?
Put it this way, Lepich and Voss got less.
Voss got a fair run.
Did he?
He was there for 5 years.
Was Voss really?
Yeah, but you have to factor into that. In his first year, they made finals. Second year, things went horribly wrong.
Hang on. What year was that?
The last year we made finals, which would have been, I believe, 2009.
Fuck me. Brisbane were in the finals?
I think we had a home final from memory. We played Carlton at the Gabba, came back from 5 goals down in the last quarter. Daniel Bradshaw kicked the sealer. And then they said, Bradshaw, would you like to fuck off so we can recruit Brennan Favola?
Wow. Where did he go? Sydney.
He went to Sydney, yeah. On a big deal. He took a 3-year deal on big money. Because Brisbane weren't confident in his body anymore. They were like, well, maybe 1 year. And he said, get fucked. You guys betrayed me. 3-year deal at Sydney. Played, I think, 8 games and then retired because his body couldn't handle it. So, yeah. And hates Michael Voss now. I won't talk to him, but yeah. Oh, well, Brisbane. Yeah, Carlton. Jesus.
Yeah.
Carlton got smashed at
Carlton,
home.
Adelaide?
Ooh, 104 points. What I like about this is that Carlton's percentage dipped under 60%.
What?
So did Gold Coast, actually.
During the game.
They end the year on like 59%.
What is, which is staggering. Absolutely insane about it is Carlton won. They had more inside 50s.
I saw that.
They won out on contested possessions and they won clearances by like 7, lost by 104 points.
What the fuck were they doing when they went inside 50, just kicking it to Talia?
I've never seen a team get... win the inside 50s, but get over 60 inside 50s and lose by 100 points.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
I think they had like 38 occasions where they went inside 50 and didn't even have a shot at goal. Like, it just got scooped up straight away.
Oh, my God.
Like, it was
it's
insane.
It's fucking unbelievable. Like,
and win the clearances as well.
Win clearances, people win bagged contested along, possessions.
Fuck.
Like,
Clarko was onto something when he said contested possessions are overrated and then won three premierships. That's putrid.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense at all.
What does Bolton do?
All right, so there's been some developments this week since we last talked about priority picks.
Yeah.
It's the push is getting stronger. And I've actually heard that there's three clubs in the mix, and I'm very curious to know why Brisbane is not one of them. St Kilda's in there. Gold Coast and Carlton have all been mentioned. Now, it's likely to be middle of first round or end of first round type situation. It could be a pick. It could be a pick, but it's tied to the fact that you have to use that on
I actually like that.
Tim Kelly-like
sort of player. If you're going to give a priority pick away, that's this Paul Roos's suggestion. Yeah. I think that if you get a priority pick, you have to use it on mature age recruit.
Actually, it might not even be like part of a first round. It might just be, right, Carlton, you get first crack at, you know, a player from the VFL.
Okay.
I think that's because that's what they need is mature bodies.
I fucking hate it.
I like that more than just getting a priority pick.
Yeah, that's trash.
But the whole thing I don't really care
Well, still on the table that it could be Carlton and Gold Coast having the first five picks in the draft. That's still a possibility.
Do you know what's going to be great is when that does happen and they still then finish second bottom and bottom for the next 3 years?
Here's the argument against Carlton, though. It's the fact that they've made the conscious decision to turn over their list.
Yeah.
Now, when you do that, you know that you're going to go down.
Yep.
So that's just the natural thing that's happened. They've gone down.
And they've got so much fucking upside.
That's it. You can't get rewarded for that. Gold Coast is a special situation. Again, I would argue that they haven't handled things and created a culture and an environment there.
But they've lost a lot.
They have lost a lot.
Gold Coast got Brisbane.
They did. The AFL stopped caring about Queensland.
Did you get a priority pick out of that year where you lost fucking everyone?
No, I think in the year or two after that, we were given like a pick 19 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I sourced that, and I wish I had remembered it. Hey, maybe you can bring it up. But Gold Coast, I think they're the second most travelled team this year.
Oh, definitely. Probably the most.
Oh, no, they're second. They were definitely second. West Coast were the most. But
really?
Yeah. I don't know how. Only by a little bit.
It's because they've travelled. Anytime they travel, it's 6 hours there and back.
And the killer for Gold Coast was they had to play in China. They played in Tasmania, didn't they? Because for the first half of the year, they didn't have a home ground. I guess my question is, if they had a home ground, do you think it's any better? Like, do you think they're Carlton level bad if they have their home ground and they get to start that first half of the year off? Like, because at a certain point, like that instability and you have enough shit weeks in a row, that weighs on you.
Yep.
Like, even young, they've got some, like, good talent there, and surely they're, or at some point, maybe even management are like, this is a write-off for you guys, let's get this pick.
Yep.
I mean, to be fair, they started the year reasonably well. They're in the top eight after three rounds.
I think they won three of their first five.
I think they also won more 14. Away games than Richmond.
Well, I was going to say, new question then. If they never got their home ground back, do you think they'd do that? If they have to go to China every other week to play, do you think they finish in the top eight?
I do remember being really nervous for their first home game because it was against Geelong and we beat them by 80 points.
Oh, yeah, smashed them.
But I think by that stage they were cooked. Like, they were exhausted. Yeah. And they'd had, again, injuries.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Hall, I don't think, has been seen again since that game. Lynch's knee, but also the fact that he was leaving. But he was brilliant to start the year.
Yeah.
It's interesting that there's been so many injuries. I liken it to wrestling in that it's because across the board, most teams are like plagued by it. And I think it's like we're talking about the evolution of the game and it's more of this spread. I think people that are coming into the league now or have been there for a bit, like have grown up their whole lives a certain way of training. Like you play this role and you train like this and you develop your muscles in this way. And as it sort of broadens, they're not built, like tendons and ligaments throughout your whole body aren't built to move the way that you're now asking these people to move.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be really interesting to say, 5 years or so when like new people coming through are a bit more established and they've been trained a bit better, like a bit more all-rounders, like I think that'll diminish greatly.
Well, even from other disciplines.
Yeah.
Like you look at these, like a lot of ex-athletes coming through, guys who've played like other sports who have like basketball conditioning.
Yes.
For that weird turn of speed that you actually need now in this game. Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see, but I also think, my brother is a big believer that football clubs just do not fucking know how to do anything.
Mm.
His whole theory being, he's a middle distance runner, and he's like, he was staggered when he found out that in a preseason a couple of years ago, Goldstein, Drew Petrie, Ben Brown, and whoever their fourth tall was at the time, Jared White, were made to run 3Ks.
Yeah.
Jacob's like, they're never going to have to fucking run that much ever. He's like, maybe Goldstein, but the other three, no way, they're full forwards. He's like, just get them doing 400, 800 meter runs. He's like, actually, get every player just running 800s. The most they're going to have to run is 15.
Mm. Yeah.
Like,
so why do
that's
they do
a fair
it?
Point.
Like, it's old like school.
Yeah. A Ben Graham in today's situations, he wouldn't go. He'd have like a week in him and his knees would explode out from under him.
Alistair Lynch would die.
Billy Brownless having a heart attack on that field.
Oh, I do love that all these like guys are like, oh, you know, the game's not as tough. It's like, I would fucking love to see you try to play five rounds. Not the whole year, just five rounds in a row.
Yeah. You in your prime against like the athletes today, it just wouldn't happen.
you'd get suspended in about 5 minutes because you get frustrated and punch a bloke.
Yeah.
BT. I reckon Wayne Carey would get his ass kicked in the modern day.
Oh, definitely.
For sure.
I'd love it.
I would love watching that. That'd
be so good.
Just quickly on the priority picks, if you want to look at like the teams and how they've gone over the last 5 years, if you put Brisbane, Carlton, Gold Coast in the same bracket, Gold Coast have won 30 games, Carlton have won 26, Brisbane have won 24. So in a 5 year period, Brisbane are the worst team. And yet, based on results this year, Brisbane aren't even in the conversation for a priority pick. And that kind of, you know, I think strengthens your argument and says, well, Carlton shouldn't be having one either because they've had the same. Yeah, we've been in the same
and
cycle.
It's not like they've had players poached, not like players that were poached from Carlton were poached fucking 5 years ago under Malthouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they've actively given up a lot of talent
actively,
to end up in this position.
That's it. They've actively given it up to get access to draft picks and brought in young players, and now those young players take a few years to develop. You don't get handouts.
No.
They also said earlier in the year, we want to stand for something. We're not going to ask for a handout. And I guarantee you they will.
Guarantee you they already have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're a disgrace. But Kyoto
Uchi or whatever his name is, it's gone.
Fuck Carlton.
John Elliott's picked the phone up and be like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think this has come up already this year. He's still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive. Fair enough. As is his son, Tom. He's a fuckhead.
Oh, bloody hell. Hawthorn beat Sydney in a crucial match for the top four.
This was not the result I thought. Although, to be fair, as soon as the team sheet came in 5 minutes before the bounce of the ball,
yep.
No Franklin, no Parker, I was like, geez, Sydney. I reckon Sydney have gone, you know what? Parker's a bit sore. So is Buddy. Let's give him 2 weeks. Let's give him 2 weeks and just throw everything in at the finals.
Yeah.
They could do anything, Sydney.
They were probably the biggest loser of the weekend, though, because they not only lost a top four spot, they've secured a home final, but their home final is against the other team from their state. So yes. It's not even like a real advantage in that sense.
No.
That's it.
Yeah, to be fair, they would have probably, if they were fully fit, they would have rolled Richmond at the G round one of the finals. Guarantee it.
Ooh.
Oh, I believe Sydney play the MCG very well.
Yep.
And I think they would have been able to push Richmond and potentially beat them. I just don't think they would have had the matchup. I think Alirelia would have given Rewald a bath.
You know what I love about the week off heading into finals is the prospect that you give Alistair Clarkson 2 weeks to plot how to destroy Richmond. Like,
as if he hasn't already had 23 weeks to think about it either.
But just imagine being Richmond and being like, fuck, Clarkson's the best coach in the game, I think.
Easy.
He's got 2 weeks to tear us apart.
What do we do? Fuck.
They're going to need a plan B.
To be fair, Hardwick learnt from the master.
Yeah, taught him everything he knows. Didn't teach him everything. When you're a mentor, you never give him everything. You keep a few up your sleeve.
Haven't you seen fucking The Last Jedi? The idea of mentors is that their pupil goes past them.
Dow, you train wrestlers.
Yeah.
You don't give them everything.
Well, here's the thing.
You keep the tricks.
don't want to disagree with you, but I had a conversation the other day that was, if I didn't want my students to be better than me, I wouldn't be a trainer.
Oh, yep. Fuck.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you want them to beat you easily.
No. I've got to work for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck yeah.
It's like when you, I don't have a kid, but it's like when you have a kid and you let them win everything, but then every now and then you just need to shut them down and beat them by a lot and be like, this is what life is like. You don't always win.
Oh, fuck. Talking about not always winning, Brisbane played. And, and they lost to West Coast. First quarter was pretty even.
Yep.
Second quarter was the most disgusting performance I've seen since Richmond beat us by like 90 points earlier in the year.
Do you know what, Sean?
I want to rip my hair out, Tom.
Do you know what the issue was, Sean?
What's that, mate?
You tried to have a shootout with the Eagles, who love a shootout.
Yeah.
Not really. We didn't fire a shot in the second quarter. Well, six goals.
What I mean is you were playing like you were trying to have a shootout against a team that loves a shootout, and they just, Shannon Hearn, gobbled those inside 50s up.
Conditions were shithouse, and I argue that they brought Big Oscar back in. They're just a little bit too slow. Brisbane, what I realised watching them is that they're
unless it's just we can't play finals.
Yeah,
let's get another game into Oscar. Why the fuck not?
Well, no, he's going to be great. I'm becoming a big fan of his. He's going to be good, but it's just kind of like they lost it in the selection possibly. But I mean, their disposal and everything about that second quarter was horrible because we won the second half. We came out and. Typical of Brisbane this year, they fought it out to the end.
Yeah.
At one point, I think it was 43 points, and I was like, fuck, this is going to get
ugly. You got
back
under 20, didn't you?
Brisbane have been kicked three in a row. Fun to watch this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in the entertainment business.
And entertainment is booming, Sean.
Yeah, they got it back to 24 points. They kicked three goals in a row in that last quarter, and then the Eagles kicked two, and then we kind of just... we were competitive, but they were never really concerned. What I noticed is that Ryan and Willy Rioli are fucking quick and killed us. Brisbane don't have a speedy small backman. Christensen's had two ripper games in the back line, and he played there again. A lot of the time he was on Rioli, and he's clever and he works through situations, but there were times when Christensen doesn't have pace. Did he when he was at Geelong?
Yeah, he was quick.
Yeah, he was.
He doesn't have it anymore. He's got a footy brain and he's clever and he does good things, but he gets burned by the people.
I think he'll get the speed back. I think he's had, like, he's what, had, this is his first full season in the 3 years he's been up there.
Yeah.
He'll get the speed back.
You know, Mitch Robbo seemed a little bit off. I think he's just had a campaign of bashing people and it's really hurt him. And he's limping to the line. And he's a warrior and I love him.
His body's like, oh, fuck, mate.
Zorko got tagged into submission again, which was disappointing. I don't think he should be the captain next year.
Do you reckon they just strip the captaincy of him?
But Brisbane just have a little bit of a leadership gulf because if it's not him and it's not Beams, then it becomes Harris Andrews. And
exactly.
I don't think he's captain either.
No,
he's a little bit too demonstrative with players when they do the wrong thing, and he still does the wrong thing. He's still too young to take it on because his game needs work as well.
The reason Harris Andrews is the captain
is
because you make it a one-year co-captaincy.
With who?
Luke Hodge.
Just give Hodgie the fucking gig.
Yeah,
give him the gig. Make him play for two or three more years and then give it to
Jared. He looks like he's got another Barry. 2 years in him.
I was going to ask when this game came up, I wanted to get your thoughts. I'm sure you probably covered it on it before for people, but do you think he's been effectual for your team?
Like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's been
great.
In any other year, he might be recruit of the year, but we've had a year where we've had like Devon Smith and we've had, you know, Tim Kelly and blokes like that. Hodge has been awesome. And the players have talked about it a lot off the field as well. He's made that team grow.
I think
so
you guys
quickly.
Have got good few years coming up. If he can impart half of his wisdom into it and get guys like Zach Bailey and stuff running around.
Bailey
like,
looks great.
He's
so
got
quick.
So much potential.
Yeah.
His issue is the same issue your whole team has, where you don't have composure when things start going wrong.
That's it.
Like,
which you can only get by playing.
Yeah, it's just experience. And that's where that Hodge really will help. If he can slow people down and stop them from making silly mistakes when you're in the heat of it.
I think also missing Witherden and Gardner is huge. They're probably the two most important defenders.
Well,
it
meant that Andrews had to play on Darling all day.
Yeah.
Whereas if Gardner's in, he locks down Darling and Andrews can do whatever the fuck he
take
wants.
Take marks and spoil.
Well, there's your lack of pace. Witherden.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's quick.
He's crucial. He's only second year and he's so integral to how that team plays. And Brisbane, they're going to be great. I think they're going to be really good next year. I'm pumped.
You've got so many young midfielders that occasionally make a mistake that just comes with an experience, but who look like guys who can make very good decisions at clutch, like McCluggage, Berry, Rayner, and that other kid, Bailey, all look like players who can make good decisions with limited space.
Once they get a better handle of how to read the ball and read situations, they'll be all over it.
McCluggage is already there. Like, give him another 2 years. That kid's going to be fucking unreal.
He's going to have to step up next year in the absence of Dane Beams because he'll leave.
He's not going to leave.
He's not going to leave.
I've heard some things.
From where? Who?
Tim Watson was talking about it today.
Tim Watson?
The word is Beams wants to go back to Melbourne and apparently Collingwood.
To Collingwood.
Now, Beams has got 2 years left on his deal. If Collingwood want him back, I would not like, they tore us apart in the initial trade when we got Beams. We had to give up pick 5, which they grabbed a goey with.
Yeah.
And also Crisp. Jack Crisp. And also they got a pick
Patrick
from us.
Patrick Kinesidinus.
No, that was a separate one. But they also got pick 25, which they used for Levi Greenwood. So they got 3 players for Beams. Brisbane should try and tear them apart too. Apparently Beams is on the way out. That's what everyone's saying. I don't know. Here's the thing.
Have you seen that interview?
If you're going to stay and you know about it's creating instability and you're Dane Beams, just come out in front of cameras and say, I have 2-year contract. I'm playing for Brisbane. Just say it.
Yeah.
He hasn't definitively said it. He got asked a few weeks back, will you play out your career in Brisbane? And he was like, at this stage.
But you know why he doesn't? He comes out and says that. It hurts his chances to like negotiate later on for high money. He doesn't want to go, I'm at Brisbane, and then turn people off going, hey, here's some cash.
He was on $1.2 million this year because his contract's back-ended. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He'll be in his 30s by then. I don't think he'll play beyond 2 years. He might play for 3 more. So it's not really a money thing.
Here's the thing, though, as well. He may not even mean, I'll play my career. Because have you guys seen the interview that he did a couple of weeks ago with him and Clay talking about how hard it was him?
I didn't actually watch it. But yeah.
So there's actually it's fucking brilliant, and it's indicative of how far the game has gone in however many years where they can talk about this shit. So he actually talks about how that on the eve of his 150th game in Port, he was a late withdrawal because he was ill.
Yep.
The actual reason is that he had a panic attack.
Yep.
And he was in the hotel room and he's like, I rang David Noble and I was like, I can't get out of bed. I don't know what to do. He was in tears because his father had just died. He couldn't cope. He basically knew he needed help. A few weeks later, he got to a point where he was sitting in his room and he just thought, I could kill myself and that would solve all these problems. And he's talking about this on camera and you go, right, this is a guy who's made All-Australian and he's averaged 30-something possessions, played a crucial role, and he's been a brilliant player for you guys. And at the back of his head, every time he finished a game was, oh, I hate my life, everything's shit. He may not want to commit to two more years because he may not know if he's going to be playing for 2 more years. He might just decide, you know what, I'm going to walk away, like a Mitch Clark or something like that, where he's just like, I can't do it anymore. I can't play this game.
Yep.
It would be really sad if that was the case, but I don't think his lack of clarity is because he's being cagey. I think his lack of clarity is that he just doesn't have clarity. I think he'll be there.
That's
fuck you, Tom Brown.
That you say that, I want to get him home to his family ASAP.
Family's in Brisbane.
But like all the time. Like I don't want him out on the field anymore. Like I just want him safe and tucked away. Like it's okay, bud. Like you've done great.
Well, because that's the thing is that he really struggled because footy was a thing he did with his dad and that's why he moved back up there. But I think he'll stay because I think the club, like by the sounds of it, he's talked like in all anything he's talked about, he's always talked about how good Brisbane have been for him this year, and in particular how supportive David Noble has. And you can't tell me that Chris Fagan, the jolly man that he is not hugging, giving that bloke a cuddle after every fucking game.
I love you, Fagan. You're the father we all want, mate.
Oh, but why give him why extend his deal out?
Shut up, Malcolm Blight. Hey, Melbourne smashed the Giants.
Yeah, they did.
Smashed them.
Smashed my dreams too, Sean.
Oh, this was big. This was huge.
So Sean messaged me on Sunday because he'd realised that we were even for footy tipping.
Yeah.
And I'd gone Giants and he'd gone Melbourne. Broke my heart.
Killer.
The orange tsunami ended.
I think Dowie beat both of us in the tipping as well.
Oh, easily.
I think we'll go more into the tipping in next week's episode.
Yep.
But yeah.
You mean overall or just last week?
I think overall, in general.
Overall you beat it.
Had a really good week this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got eight. It was my last chance to get a perfect for the year, and Brisbane let me down.
I've only had the one perfect week.
I don't care for the extra point.
We've established this. I'm going to get rid of it next year.
Get rid of it. It's trash. Also, you need to have a different name in the tipping.
I can't.
There's too many Toms.
I run the work one as well, and it's a lot of old boys in that
Tom
one.
Just write Tom Reed then.
Then people know who I am. I like being mysterious. I like that there's eight
people
Toms
know
in there,
what your name is.
And you don't fucking know which one's me. Also, I don't get confused because when I log in, it comes up with me.
North Melbourne beat St Kilda.
The Saints were sort of there,
but not there. And a bit like their year, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
Benny Brown couldn't win the Coleman. He tried.
He did try.
Yep.
He had three blokes on him all day.
Yeah. Bit dog from St Kilda.
Well, no, but...
Had shades of Hawthorn stopping Favola from kicking...
No, the difference there, though, is they were getting smashed, so they put an extra behind the ball.
Yeah.
If you're North and you want Benny Brown to kick a bag, you put your extra man in the forward line.
Yeah. True.
Yep. But North will be better for the run. I think St Kilda will be better eventually. I think people... as Matt, when he was on... I pointed where he sat, just so everyone knows. Matt sat over there. He said, you know, I think people underestimated... what the loss of Rewalt and Montagna were going to do. And I think that's, you know, being felt there. We kind of just to jump back. We glossed over the fact that Melbourne winning means that they're playing a home final for the first time in finals in 12 years.
Massive.
Max Gawn had 1,000 hitouts for the season because he got exactly 37.
Yeah.
He needed 37 to break 1,000 hitouts. Fucking awesome. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that
champion.
Game.
Well, that's the games.
Is that all the games?
That's all the games.
That's the season.
That is the season.
The home and away season.
Oh.
On to finals. So, yeah, just for people who are unaware, there is a break next week. There are no games.
There are no games. We're not going anywhere because we're going to
see the stuff up on the AFL app when they initially announced the finals. And it was, well, all the matchups were wrong there.
Did it say Richmond versus Brisbane?
It said Magpies Geelong. I remember that. Oh. And all the dates were this coming week. And I was like, That's not what I thought was happening at all.
Well, that's like if Magpies had a loss, they would have dropped to fifth and played Geelong.
And then, like, I tried to refresh it, and it's like, this is not available. And about an hour later, that, like, article was clickable again, and it had all been fixed.
Can I say, on the fixture for the finals, so the fixture for the finals look like this. We've got, we'll probably talk more about the who we think is going to win. We might ask you, Dale, who you think is going to win, but we'll go into this more next week.
Yeah, sure.
But you've got the first one is Richmond Hawthorn at the G on Thursday night, Melbourne Geelong Friday night, and then the two Saturday games are Collingwood West Coast and then Sydney Giants.
Yep.
I think in the other order, though.
In opposite order, yep.
Now, the thing that I've that's shat me up the wall today is all of the whinging fuckheads complaining about, oh, there's a, why would you put a blockbuster final between two of the biggest clubs on Thursday night? People have to go to school and work. How are we going to get footy, eh? Jeff Kennett, fuck off, all right?
Yeah.
The AFL have had Thursday night games for the last 2 or 3 years. The problem is, there haven't been two Victorian sides, has it?
Yeah.
It's been Adelaide and West Coast who've had to have the Thursday night game. You never heard the South Australians whinging about the fact that they had to go to work the next day because Adelaide probably got a public holiday because that's how Adelaide rolls.
Nah, but you know what? Like, if you're a good parent, don't send your kid to school on the next day.
Or do and just put them back out late.
I thought you were going to say, like, don't take them to the football the night before school.
Go to the footy. Fuck. Yeah. What are you going to learn on a Friday at
school? Yeah, it's true. It's one Thursday night game, and Jeff Kerr's like, well, there won't be a lot of supporters there. All right, Jeff, I'll do you a deal, mate. If you're worried about the scheduling, let's swap. Geelong could play Richmond on Thursday night. You could play Melbourne. We'll finish fourth and have the double chance, and you could be in elimination final against the D's and get beaten. Slog.
Shut up, Jeff.
Can't wait to smash you.
Whoa, as could in, happen.
Oh, could.
It could.
But yeah, move on. This Thursday night footy now.
Dowie, rapid here.
Yeah.
Go. Richmond versus Hawks.
Richmond.
Melbourne versus Cats.
Cats.
Yes.
Sydney versus Giants.
Giants.
Eagles versus Magpies.
Eagles.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, some big calls. Big calls. We'll cover them in depth in next week's episode. Tom?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to do some profit calls?
No.
Well, no, what I'm thinking is, so Dowie's done a profit call. Dowie, can we get your profit call for grand finalists?
Yeah.
And who's going to win the Brownlow medal?
All right. Oh, I was going to say, I probably need the brackets to give a grand finalist. So Geelong, obviously.
Yeah. Who's playing Geelong in the grand final?
Fuck.
I'll tell you if it's possible.
It
can't be Melbourne.
No, it can't be Melbourne. Can they end up against Richmond?
They can if Richmond win the first week.
Okay, so they win, get a week off, and then, yeah. I reckon Cats-Richmond.
Cats-Richmond?
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Jeez. Should we jump to some emails, Tom?
I reckon we should. Oh, wait, who's your Brownlow medalist?
I don't want it to be Dusty Martin.
Go for Gawn.
Yeah, Gawn.
Yeah.
Gawn it is.
Gawn for gold. Let's do some emails, Sean.
We'll jump through a few. First one's from friend of the show, Matt. Subject, just how good is footy? Boys, I started listening to the pod just because it was a Sandspan show. I knew absolutely nothing about the game. After not understanding the game, I decided to watch the Bombers in round 11. I was blown away at the athleticism and speed of the game. I fell in love with footy right there. I've been following the game and the Bombers since that moment. I just watched Brennan Goddard's goodbye speech. I cried. and for a team and a player that I only just found out about. The game is so engaging and the players so genuine. I found a love for sport I haven't had in years. So as I lay in my bed wiping tears away to make this email coherent, I now know just how good footy is. With new respect for the game, Matt. P.S. Up the fucking Bombers. Good on you, Matt. Cheers.
Man, one thing you are going to learn as you watch football is that Goddard is trash. And you need a better team.
Oh, shit. Shots fired. Oh, shit.
The Geelong arrogance is on fire tonight. It's so good.
I feel like even we'll go into war about Chris Scott, there was just still an air of they were on the same team.
Yeah, don't worry about it. If Sean had said half the shit you were saying, I would have gone in.
This one's from Daniela Fagan. Am I a TC?
Do you know what? Again, as I say every time we get an email that has that in the subject line, the answer usually is yes, except for last week we had the first no.
Let's find out.
I haven't heard last week's.
It was a guy.
But I was going to say, it's almost implied if you have to ask.
That's my suggestion. This is the guy who went from Essendon to the Giants.
Ooh, okay.
Let's find out about Danielle.
Anyway, we'll see about this one.
Hey, guys. I wanted to see what your opinion is on people who support two teams.
Nah.
Feel free.
Done. Email.
Yeah, don't even bother.
Feel free to judge, Dowie. But hear me out first. An overview of the situation. My mother's father grew up in Carlton and barracked for the Blues, but moved to Sydney as an adult. He died of a heart attack when my mum was 14, years old, probably for his own good due to the state of the club now. And as such, she has always had a soft spot for the club. As a small human growing up in Sydney, my parents were casual AFL viewers, and I showed no interest being one of the least sporty people in the world. But when the Swans won the 2005 Premiership, we, no shame, yeah, there is. Jumped hard on the bandwagon. I was 11 at the time.
Okay. All right.
Young enough, I think.
Young enough, yep, yep.
The next year, my parents decided to take us to our first game, and naturally, they chose the Blues versus Swans. I decided to root for the underdog and chose to adopt Carlton. Little did I know how much pain this decision would cause me. Fast forward to today. I'm a hardcore AFL fan, standing up at games, abusing umpires, and heckling other teams' players. I've been a Swans member since 2013 and held an interstate Carlton membership since 2014.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Yes, I might not suffer as hard as most fans because Swans have made finals 19 of the past 20 years. Well done, Sydney.
That is fucked.
Yeah. But I never deny being a Blues fan. Cough, cough, doucher. I always say that the Blues are my number one team and I always barrack for them against the Swans. So my question to you is, can you be a fan of two clubs or does it make you a TC? Cheers, Daniela.
I feel like
that's an interesting situation.
I feel like there's enough that basically she hasn't done a douche. She never throws her teams under the bus, and she always picks her original team when they play off.
I take exception to barracking for two teams. You can have a soft spot for a second team.
Yeah,
I don't think you can support two teams.
Yeah, well, technically though, she's a member of both clubs.
Yeah, don't care for that. No, Tear one of those up.
But the Carlton one,
but really the Sydney one.
But she lives in Sydney, so and she's a mad AFL fan, so she wants to go to watch the Sydney games. But she puts Carlton above Sydney. That's a tricky one.
I think you just put a different team above, like you don't want to support a local Melbourne team more than Lions.
Yeah, but I'm not trash.
Yeah. I think we answered her question.
P.S. Can I elect Tom Mitchell as the biggest fucking TC in the game? Carlton offered that fucking piece of shit bags of money at the end of 2015, and that little rat wanted to stay at the Swans. 12 months later, he TC'd his fucking way down to Hawthorn. If he fucking wins the Brownlow, I'm going to blow a fuse. I hope Isaac Heaney takes such a fucking big hanger on top of him this weekend that he retires due to utter humiliation.
Didn't have him. He got tagged out of it, though.
Oh, man. Thanks for the email.
Good. Can I interject quickly with a fun story about how good footy is? So when I was a kid, Geelong supporter, and it was like, we're probably about the same age, like that sweet spot where everyone's like riding the Gary Ablett hype, but by the time I'm really into footy, Gary's on the way out, and there's like that lull period where we're just no good.
Yep.
And so I'm like 8 or 9, and maybe a bit older. It was primary school though, so maybe 9 or 10, and the idea of a backup team, because I supported Geelong, but no one else, like, my dad's an Essendon supporter, my uncle's a Melbourne supporter, so maybe we get, like, a backup team sort of thing. So I don't have to go as a loser to school or whatever. But the backup team I picked were the Melbourne Demons, who were doing much worse than Geelong at that period of time, and it lasted about half a season, and I've been a Geelong fan only ever since.
Why did you pick the Demons?
I don't know. I was Melbourne, because I think as a kid as well, like, as always, I've had it drilled into me that it's, like, a local thing. And so we'd go to my uncle's place, and he lived right across the road from Cardinia Park. And back then, you just walk across and watch the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pay or anything. And we'd go to, I always forget the name of it, out near me, Waverley.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think the idea of, like, oh, like, you go for your local team. Like, you support that. So as much as I love, like, Geelong, it was always a bit foreign that I support this team that's, like, an hour and a half drive away. Maybe I should go for, like, the local team, which I guess is Melbourne. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And you're close to Waverley. Like, wouldn't the local team have been Hawthorn?
Yeah, but they're scum. So can't do that. I didn't. I'd not thought about that until she was talking about being a child. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I have a Melbourne Demon shirt that's, like, 5-year-old somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think I've. I think second teams. I have players that I like from other teams, and then I'll get by. Like, I get behind Brisbane for you.
Yeah, I'll get behind Brisbane. Yeah.
I've started getting behind Essendon for Dusha, and I get behind Port for Jacob.
Yeah,
and I've worn Port stuff to games, or I've never gone to a Brisbane or an Essendon game.
Mm. I've worn Geelong stuff to games.
Yep, I gave you a scarf, didn't
your
I?
Boys. Yeah, I've worn a Geelong jumper to a game before.
Oh, mate.
Yep. That's what you do. You support your mates.
You do.
Yeah.
Because how good's footy?
Oh.
I've got an email from Spencer Jamison. It's victory traditions. Boys, besides having a roast, do you have any other victory traditions or rituals? Do you wear the same socks to games or only drink blue Gatorade on the game? I know this is common in the US and wanted to know if this was international. Keep up the good work. P.S. What does it take to be a friend of the show? From Spencer, the man who was happier when the Lions won than when his sister told him she was pregnant. That's how you become a friend of the show.
That's how you become a friend of the show, Spencer.
In brackets, does that make me a TC to my family? No, mate.
No. Footy comes first.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Spencer. Traditions, Tom. Any?
So, I have lots. Yeah. You know, my family are fucked. so, my parents, like, so I wear a different jumper watching games on TV than I do when I'm at the ground.
You got a home and away strip.
I've got a home and away jumper.
Yeah.
My parents both put their scarves on their chairs. They don't wear them. They just sit them on their chairs that they sit in when they watch them at home, like on TV. I have a pair of Geelong socks that I wear to every game. I have a lucky pair of shoes, which I'm wearing right now.
Oh.
These cons have said 3 grand finals. They got a cigarette burn on them from the party after the 2009 grand final.
Ooh, wild.
I was talking to someone about that night, actually. I was like maybe 18, 19, and we'd gone, like, so the whole town of Geelong went ballistic and, like, shut down, but in a good way. And everyone was just going nuts. And we were at a bar, and we've gone up to there's about 8 people at this bar who are ordering drinks. And everyone's ordered, like, some beers. And then this bloke at the bar who was in, like, stubby short, like, little shorts and was blind just saw that we all had Geelong gear on, and he's like, all these blokes here, I'm paying for their beers. So he bought us all the beers. Anyone who was at the bar at the time when he was there, he paid for their drinks, and he bought everyone a shot. Oh. It was the fucking best. So I have those. We have like just weird little things about where we sit, and I get very into it. My brother can't sit and watch a game on TV. He has to stand and watch the whole game. Yep. He'll sit at the games.
I'll stand if I'm in it. If I'm watching it at home and it's the fourth quarter and Brisbane are in the game, I pretty much stand for the whole quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, he just stands for the whole game. Do you have any weird shit you do?
Do you have any weird shit you do for wrestling?
Oh, I get a real routine for wrestling, like the day of a show. It depends, because I travel a bit as well, and that throws it out. And especially since we opened the academy, like, I've been training all day, like, so I haven't had a chance. But generally, like, I have this real weird routine where I get up, I wait till the day of a show before I wash any of my things from the last show. So sometimes that's weeks in a bag just in my car. Wash all my gear and stuff, put that in. Go to the gym, work out for like 2 hours, then grab chicken and chips from the place next door to my gym, head home, eat that, pack everything from my bag, hang like my shirts So I have like a shirt that I'll wear to the ring and I'll take off before I start wrestling. That's wet because I've just washed it. So I put that in front of the heater. That dries while I pack the rest of my shit, eat lunch. Once it's dry, put it in my bag, zip everything up, go to the show. When I get in my gear and put my shirt on, first thing I do before I walk out, pour 2 liters of water on my head. Just to keep cool. So I don't know why I bother drying the shirt every time because it's just soaked again as soon as I'm about to go out. That's like my wrestling routine. And then I get the same pump up and stuff out the back, depending on where I am, what I can get a hold of. For footy, not much. The only like constant is whenever I go to a game, it's jersey on, no shirt underneath. Don't believe in that shit, no matter what the weather is.
You showed up to a game we went to recently, and it was fucking freezing.
Yeah, and I popped that jumper off, baby. We're sitting in the shade at the MCG. Freezing winds.
And it's chilly.
Oh, yeah, it is.
When that wind comes through.
It was hurting my lungs, like it was so cold. But yeah, that's I believe in that. So no shirts under that. You wear a jumper. They're out there suffering.
Yeah,
why not me?
I have to wear a shirt under mine because I sit in the fancy boy section. And you need a collared shirt in the fancy boy section.
Have we got one last email from friend of the show, actually Isaac Anning. Subject: something I think we can get behind. Footy's pretty good this week.
Is Isaac the boy who made me eat a loaf of bread?
Yep.
Fuck you, Isaac.
How's it going, Tom and Carney? Pretty good. Can't complain.
Yeah. I can't. I'm in the finals.
Oh, fuck, mate.
I can't complain.
That's a bit...
I'm not saying... a bit
insensitive.
You've been in mathematical impossibilities about round 12.
All right, don't bring mathematics into it. We don't do that on this show.
Do you want a fun, dumb fact?
Yeah.
A friend of my brother's thought it was math magician for like until 2 weeks ago.
How old is he?
Oh, 25.
Jesus. Isaac, I've been meaning to send you guys an email for a while and I finally got around to doing it. First things first, I'm the guy who brought the bread to the movie maintenance show. On the episode where Tom ate the toast, you were saying that you didn't know when I had bought the bread. Just want to let you know, even though this is 3 months late, that I bought it that afternoon. I was kind of hoping he's like, I bought it 3 weeks prior to that.
Well, that's good because...
That's good.
I would have vomited.
Were you still alive?
I nearly did vomit. It was fucking gross.
A few weeks ago, you were talking about a rule where if you have an extra player on the field and a ref notices, your score gets put to zero. This is an actual rule in the WRFL. What is that? Do you know what that is?
Is it the Wrestling Football League? Fuck, have you got a wrestling football team?
No. Oh, you should.
You should.
Yeah. I got a.
You should have a basketball team.
I have a basketball team,
like a wrestling one though.
Oh well, what's funny is I'm going from here to play basketball.
Is it a team full of wrestlers?
Well, no, it's a team from people when I worked at JB years ago, but they're all at conference, so I've replaced them with wrestlers for tonight. I had to grab like 4 fill-ins.
The team you're coming up against, you can see these guys walk out in the court, and be like, "Oh fuck, why are they all wearing belts? This is weird."
I'm going to assume that it's some sort of local football league.
Yeah, has to be.
Yeah. A couple of games ago, my brother's team got caught for accidentally having an extra player on the ground and their score was reset. At the time, they were winning the game and it was in the third quarter of the game. They somehow caught up again and went on to win the game. That's a fair effort.
It's the Western Region Football League.
Ah, beautiful.
I don't know what region.
Good work, Professor of Football. This weekend, just gone, my brother, who plays for Spotswood, won the under-17s grand final.
Oh, they're Victorian-based. There you go.
And he's only 15, and he was in the under-17s. Congratulations. Jeez. The final scores were Cooper's Crossing 29 and Spotswood 48. Bit of a low-scoring game.
Yeah, it's all right.
Two quick questions. What will happen after the finals? Will you just upload occasionally or not upload until next season? May as well answer that one. We're just going to push on, I think. There's a lot to cover. There's going to be like the reviews of
various teams and come up with some dumb shit to do. We won't be going away, though.
And then there will be the draft.
Trade period.
So there is stuff.
There'll be
a break sometime around the Christmas sort of part of the year. But
it might not be weekly, but we will still be coming at you in some form.
Yeah. We'll have more details on that soon. But yeah, we're not going away. And what will you do for the grand final? Example, have a live episode.
Well,
can we?
We're being in permission. Like, we got told we could.
Oh, I'm excited.
We're going to be there.
Oh, how good's footy at the grand final?
How good's footy at the grand final? We're not going to do necessarily a live episode. We're going to try to record some stuff while we're there.
I was going to say, if you're going to do a live episode, it'd have to be like a viewing party. Like, you couldn't, I don't think it would be a fun episode if you were at the grand final recording. We're going to record something in a room watching it with people.
Correct.
Then, maybe. Yeah.
We'll record stuff at the grand final, which will be in that.
And then potentially might do something as like a end of season thing after the grand final. But watch this space. We are going and we're going to
representing How Good's Footy, when Geelong take on Richmond.
Whoa, that would be the biggest game ever. Thanks for a great football podcast to listen to and keep up the good work. Tom, I'll be tipping the Cats this week. Hopefully they win and get into the grand final. May the future be filled with roasts.
Oh,
thanks, love Isaac. It. Brilliant, mate. Tom, if people want to send us an email, where can they find us?
If they want to send us an email, they just send an email to howgoodsfooty@gmail.com. If they want to send us a toaster, as Mark did.
Thank you, Mark.
We got a new studio toaster from Mark. Oh. So don't know who you are, which Mark you are, but thank you, Mark.
Champion.
Or if you want to tweet us stuff, you can tweet us at howgoodsfooty or individually. I'm at Awkward Treed.
I'm at Sidekick of Dowie. Where can they find you, Dowie? Never actually had to do this.
Do you think that this is going to be a revelation moment for a lot of your listeners? That
mine's like, a different Dowie.
I'm at Dowie James on most things. I think on Facebook I'm Super Dowie to find that, but that's pretty straightforward. D-O-W-I-E. They've seen it in your Twitter handle. I don't know why I'm bothering you.
Got any shows coming up?
We do.
Can see you do your thing.
We got a show this Friday night, Battle Championship Wrestling. The venue eludes me, but if you jump online, you'll be able to find that pretty fast. That's actually a tour with a bunch of old ECW guys. So if you like wrestling, there's RVD, Sabu, Shane Douglas. They're all going to be on the show. Justin Credible's there.
Is that in Melbourne?
That's in Melbourne. Yep. We're Saturday night, same company, Battle Championship Wrestling, same tour. Tajiri, I'm remembering all these people that are actually draws more than me. We're in Adelaide. Then next week, we've got the same tour, Friday night up in Sydney, and then we're in Essendon for Melbourne City Wrestling, which is my pride and joy. That's called Fight to Survive. It's a retro-themed thing, Survivor Series main event. If you're coming down, we're encouraging people to dress up like it's the 80s. Oh. 80s wrestling theme.
Does that mean you will be donning the Champagne Pyro, which was your name?
Yeah, I've tweeted out a couple pictures teasing that, but no. No, I will be. It's going to be so deflating for people.
Just come out in the jacket, surely, right?
Yeah. Run out on fire.
Yeah.
With the Geelong team song.
Yeah.
Or just, we are Geelong. Do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that shitty cheering over the top. What's really disorientating is if you're at a live game and the crowd is going crazy and then there's this piped in crowd noise over the top.
Oh, I hate the piped in crowd noise.
It is.
It's garbage. Get rid of it.
I'd prefer the weird roar. Anyway.
Who does the roar? Brisbane.
I close out with a really fun story that I totally forgot to bring up. Sure. At the start of the year, I spent about 5 weeks in the States, and a couple of days of that was at Washington, D.C. And my partner's a mad Essendon supporter, and we found an AFL game that was going to be played in Washington. And like they've got an entire league there. There's something like 32 teams in this league.
Holy shit.
It's like just regional, like sort of footy and stuff, but because obviously the population's so dense. So it was going to be like South Carolina versus someone. And I checked the night before, found out where it is. It was like terrible weather. And we're like, all right, we're going to go out. So it's like 11 in the morning. We go out. We're wading through. Like, to be fair, the day before, some of the worst weather I've ever been in. Next day, not bad. Wasn't raining. It was still wet. There was still puddles around. But like the day before was a storm. Find this goddamn oval. Nothing's happening. Like, this is wrong. There's like 8 ovals where we are. So we walk around to all 8. Can't find it anywhere. Go back. I have to go online and double check what is going on. Go to the Facebook page. Find this team that's advertising it. Find that they haven't done a post, but someone's commented on a previous post going, sorry, have to apologize to the team and stuff. We don't have a field to play on because of poor weather conditions. I don't think you understand the point of this winter sport. If you're canceling because it's goddamn raining, this is not AFL.
They need to watch the game with Wayne Harms where he just slides on some mud.
Harden up. Disgusting.
Oh,
lift, America.
Lift.
God. But boys, how good's footy?
Oh.
Go Lions next year?
Go Cats this year.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.